Welcome to Radio Gorgeous. This is Victoria Pearson, and today my guest is the extraordinary punk rock cellist Polly Panic. Polly, a warm welcome to Radio Gorgeous.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Now, first of all, were you classically trained as a cellist?
Yes. I started playing when I was 16 or 17, something in there, and I quickly became obsessed with the cello and learned rudimentary parts of playing the cello from a friend, but because of my obsession, I was quickly accepted into classical music school and ended up sort of learning next to people that have been playing since they were, you know, 5 to 10, so I had a lot of ground to make up, and I did. It just, it was very, very intense and very hard for me to make up that ground. But I wanted to do that, all of that, primarily so that I could eventually do what I wanted to do with the cello, which I did.
Yeah, and you have to do it the straight way before you can subvert it, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to know the rules before you can break them, I suppose.
Yeah. I think we both know all the rules, and I think we've both broken them.
Yes. There we go.
As many times as possible, hopefully.
Actually, all the time. I love it.
yeah, perfect. You have been described as a cross between PJ Harvey and Tori Amos. What are your musical influences?
Those both are huge. Those were huge in my formative years, I suppose. And I would also, like, I was a grunge baby, so Nirvana and Alice in Chains, those type of bands were a huge influence on me. That was the first time that I felt really alive. I came from a extremely sort of Pentecostal Christian background upbringing. So when I stumbled across things like Nirvana, I felt like I was just set free.
So I'm getting an image here of you feeling quite restricted by all of that upbringing and the formal cello playing and breaking out, breaking free.
Absolutely.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. I've got a vision of you buttoned up with a very tight neck on as a young person and just pulling
it
out.
And breaking out of it was, you know, painful. But I guess breaking out of any shell would be.
Yeah.
But the music was kind of when I heard that was my first steps towards freedom, I suppose.
Yeah. Are there certain rules to playing the cello, and have you now broken all of them?
Yes, I have. There's a lot of rules and constraints as far as your form, how you actually physically play the cello, and I have broken those for a long time. I tend to be a lot more aggressive than I need to be. But it's just kind of part of the music. But that also will injure you after many years of doing it. So I've tried to let my body stay relaxed, which is kind of very hard to do when you're singing at the top of your lungs. So it's just something I've battled with, the physicality of it. Outside of that, there's probably everything under the sun at this point with modern like classical music or whatever has been done and is called something or other, but I keep discovering things on my own, and I don't know what the technical term would be for it. I just don't really care. I just want to, you know, make a cool sound and see what I can do. And then, of course, I run the cello through loop stations and a variety of distortion pedals. So they certainly didn't teach me that in classical music school.
Yeah. You have said of all the instruments, the cello is the closest to the human voice. How does it affect the audience? Do they respond as if they are listening to a person singing?
They do. You know, I find myself in all kinds of venues performing. Some of them are, you know, punk rock bars, and some of them are quietly, you know, they're seated tables, candlelit tables. So there is quite a variety of audiences that I sit in front of, that I perform for. And the cello makes them all stand at attention because in the, you know, kind of the punk bars, it's totally unexpected to begin with. People want to see what I'm going to do. And it never fails to, I will always love the look on people's faces when I hit the distortion pedal the first time. That's delighted me since the day one, and it will continue to delight me, I think, as long as I do it. So there is that, but the sound of the cello itself makes people shut up and listen. And that holds true for the punk bars as well as the quiet seated venues. Yeah. For sure. It just resonates. You can be as soft and tell a story with one single note. Or, you know, you can hit the distortion pedal and make them fall out of their seats. So
it hits you on a certain level that's inside you in a way other instruments don't do that. It's kind of like an emotional feeling, isn't it, that it directly hits you, I think.
Very, very much.
Yeah.
I've always had a very deep emotional tie to the cello. The wavelength that it functions in draws a response. It even draws a response from my baby. Yeah. So, and animals. So it's just on a very deep level.
And do you do lullabies for the baby on the cello? Is it a soft?
I do. Mm-hmm. I do. Sometimes he gets jealous.
Yeah.
To be honest, but.
The cello's getting more cuddles than he is, maybe.
Yeah. He likes it for a while and then he gets a little adamant.
Yeah,
that I pay attention to him.
You have lived in South America playing to Spanish-speaking audiences. Does music transcend all language?
Absolutely. The same thing that would happen here happened there. People were surprised to see the instrument. I didn't have the distortion pedals there. It was just me taking my cello from bar to bar in little, small little towns, villages, more like in South America. And I would have rapt audiences, and they understood not a word I said. But, you know, to be honest, a lot of live musicians, if I've never seen them before, you don't know what they're saying. You know, you can understand some of it, but you can't understand, oftentimes you can't understand every single lyric of every single song that someone's performing upon first listen, especially if it's live. But the feel of the song and the story of the song somehow gets across anyway, or however it relates to you. Whether that be in South America or in America or in England.
Yeah. The track Losing Form is about codependent addiction. You've been sober for 11 years. Has getting sober changed your approach to your life and your music?
Yes, on so many levels. Alcohol, initially, I'll never forget the first time I drank it. I thought that it had set me free. I thought that it had finally, that I was finally able to be the person that I was meant to be, that I was finally safe in my own skin. And that equated in my music. It helped me get to some rage or sorrow that I had. The unfortunate part about it is that with any alcoholic, it eventually turns on you, and what you thought was your best friend begins to kill you instead and destroy your life slowly.
Yeah.
But you still can't do without it. You, no matter what, you must have it at all costs. And so that took me pretty far down. Physically, I had lost polypanic. I couldn't do shows. I lost my friends. I was living in my tour bus, but not touring. Yeah. And I really got to the point that I was throwing up blood.
Yeah.
And I was just lost. So I believe that people have to be taken down to the point of being completely beaten with something like that before they can truly let go. And it's a mental, spiritual process. And I will forever be learning about that process, incorporated into that. How I do that is how I perceive the world around me and the feelings and the logic and all of it is how I do that is with music. And the more honest I can be about it, the more I think people can hear it and relate to it.
Yeah, and your story reminds me a little bit of Alice Cooper, because he had a similar situation happen to him. And he said as soon as he quit the drink, he performed better than ever before.
Yeah. Oh, yes. I can't even imagine how many shows I completely destroyed because in my mind I was great, right, but I was actually drunk or just completely blacked out and had no memory of the show at all the next day.
Yeah, yeah. You think you're doing great and then you realise it's actually just you.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have a particular technique to get both your voice and the voice of the cello to fill the room?
With a cello, it depends on the room so much, but the part of me is like, well, just turn it up. But the other part of it is you should be able to be quiet and draw the audience in. So I like to go run the gamut between the loud and overpowering, and then draw people, not overpowering, but you know, big as possible, and then shrink it back small. And the more I am in the moment, in that place where that song was written, the more people will go with me there.
Yeah. And so when you make it the sound big, you're bringing the whole room with you. When you shrink it down, you're taking in individual people, I guess.
It's incredibly personal. They have to, you know, sometimes the whole room goes with me when it's quiet. They have to be there with me in that moment. And that's a hard thing to do, especially in our current, you know, society and lives. We've got 1,000 things going on, and it's just hard to live in the moment. Mm. But that's where the real power is, yeah, to me, in live performances.
And it's becoming like attention deficit disorder is the normal thing almost.
Yes, right? And it almost has to be, because yeah, we all have our different devices and 6-7 different things going on at the same time just to keep your head above water. And that's just where we are. So I have to drop everything when I am on stage and totally go to that place where the song lives. Yeah. And because if I'm faking it and just performing the song, just, you know, getting it over with, people feel that, and it doesn't have the same magic and doesn't resonate the same way.
Yeah, definitely. How personal is this new album to you, and what are your favorite tracks on it and why?
Every album I do, I try to, you know, everyone always strives to be better. I strive with lyrics to be more honest and get to something that's just more real. And it's, I'm learning over time how to take my personal things and just put them out there, because that's what everyone needs. They need someone's personal thing because that resonates with their personal thing. And then between the two personal things, you have real strength and real power and real healing. Yeah. So every album, I strive to be more and more honest and see how, sometimes that's with lyrics and sometimes that's with music. I would like to try and challenge myself to learn different things and sometimes play with other musicians just so I think outside of my own box, my own comfort zone. to try to keep breaking the boundaries and not have everything just automatically go verse, chorus, verse, you know, verse, chorus, bridge, chorus. You know, if those are the boundaries you're always working in, then you probably are limiting yourself as far as where the song wants to go. As far as it's a weird thing to watch songs unfold. I think I have ideas and control of it to begin with, but it kind of shapes itself in my mind. That's how I think of it,
yeah.
Anyway.
It grows organically.
Close my eyes and listen to where it wants to go.
Yeah, it tells you where it wants to go rather than...
Exactly.
Annie is a track about Annie Oakley and a celebration of women living on their own terms. How important is living on your own terms to you now? And are you still fighting against convention?
Oh, yes. I don't even realize how I'm fighting against convention half the time. Living on my own terms and being a strong woman are a daily thing. There are, and it's in my own life as well as in my musical endeavors. The music industry is very male-oriented, for the most part run by a lot of men with a lot of egos. And so there is that on a daily basis from music venue to music venue. And then in my own life, because sometimes I can have strength when I go on stage, but it'll fall away when I come off of stage because I am not polypanic all of the time. That is my strong place. I personally kind of lag behind polypanic. I'll realize things in polypanic that I can't do in my own life, and maybe like a couple years later, I'll catch up.
Yeah.
So I definitely kind of separate myself from polypanic, and I'm just hoping that I catch up.
Yeah.
Completely.
Yeah. And the album is out on the 20th November?
Correct.
And it's called Losing Form.
Yes. Been touring and doing a few festivals this whole fall. We've just got a couple more in November. We are planning on touring. I'm about to get a new used bus, and we'll be traveling around quite a bit in the spring, although the dates aren't lined up yet. So everyone will just have to go to polypanic.net.
Okay.
And I keep that updated. I'm starting a blog for tour adventures because it's always strange. It's always strange, and that's part of why I love it. You don't know what's going to happen on any given day. So that will be a fun read. Yes, just stay up to date on the website, polypanic.net.
Okay, lovely. And Polypanic, thank you so much for talking to me today. It's been really interesting.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad to have been here.
And for more gorgeous women, go to radiogorgeous.com.
What? my feet need more. Like my mother, I will just walk out the door.